Today we have two very long readings, and they're both very important. I'm still trying to figure out which way to go. Let me say a tiny thing about this first reading, and then we'll work on the parable again. Again, because it comes up in almost every gospel, and we read it and think about it. This solemn promise that God made to David. David wants to build God a house. God says, David, I don't need a house. But I'll make a promise to you. I'll build you a house. And that house will last forever. Mercy. Mercy. The Bet David, the house of David. Now, remember, there was the exile, the wiping out of the kingship. Years in exile then. And then came back. And all sorts of people being kings, you know. But none really of the house of David. Suppose you were Simeon. You pray, or Mary, and you pray every day for the consolation of Israel. Remember how Simeon waited for the consolation of Israel. Waited. The psalm that we just sang, Psalm 89, or recited, but we have it, you know. Forever I will maintain my love for my servant. I have made a covenant with my chosen one. Forever I will maintain my love for him. Then the whole next part of the psalm. But you've rejected us. You've taken the crown of the king and thrown it in the dirt. We have no king. What about this? It's the same psalm. That's faith. God, I love you, I trust you, but boy, you're making it hard. Where's this king you promised you were going to always give us? And we don't have him for years, centuries. People like Simeon and Mary and Anna and how many others said, God, you're not going to go back on your word. We trust you. We trust you. And the result, the king reigns throughout the whole universe forever. The son of David. And God did establish the Bet David for an everlasting kingship, but his own way. Isn't that always the challenge? Oh, this is great. Oh, much. And then boom, it all goes. And you say, God, you don't care anymore. I mean, you're whatever. And he says, oh, yes, I do. You have no idea how much I love you. Just stick with me. Trust me. Is it hard? I know it's hard. But you know, you're little, you're stupid. You know, how am I going to work with you unless you trust me? I think we might as well stay here since we don't have that much time anymore. If you look, this promise was so precious, huh? But you find it all over the place, remembering this promise of God. You remember Achaz, who was a lousy king, son of David, by generation, not by spirit. And Isaiah said to him, they're coming down from the north to conquer Jerusalem. And the Lord said, it shall not be. Isaiah said to Achaz, under God's direction, ask of the Lord any sign you want, heaven and earth. Well, Achaz said, I won't tempt the Lord. You think he was devout? He didn't want God that close, or he'd have to obey him and trust him. You know, God, there's a miracle in front of you. You're stuck. He didn't want to be stuck. He wanted to maneuver on his own. That's why Isaiah got mad at him. And said, listen to this, O Bet David, house of David. Remember the promise, you see? Is it enough that you weary men that you must weary my God as well? But the Lord gives you a sign. This is the sign. The Alma, the young maiden, will conceive and bear a son, and you shall call him Immanuel, El with us. He got a sign. Maybe he didn't want it, but the people did. And as for these fellows coming up down from the north, don't worry about them. How many times this promise is reiterated, reiterated, and reiterated. But not according to our standards. And that's the... So they're all waiting for this son of David, huh? The Ben David. We've got 3 minutes to finish. In the book of Chronicles, first book, chapter 17, I think verse 13, but I won't swear to that, this whole thing is repeated. I will raise up a son to you, whatever he says here now. I'll build a house for you. You're not going to build a house for me. I will be a father to him. And if he does wrong, I will correct him with the rod of men, with human chastisements, but I will never take my chesed from him. One king. Well, as time went on, you see, you're looking now for the king, the son of David, right? After a while. Sure, they began to realize that one king after another, they're not all really going to be sons of David in anything but a purely generational sense. We're looking for a real son of David. You know how many times in the synoptics people call out Jesus, son of David. So, Chronicles repeats this, but you see, there could be a son, one son, numerical singular, or a numerical generic, right? You're a son after you. Your son after you, meaning every single one, or one son after you. They began to realize that this prophecy is going to concern one. So they rewrite the telling. Chronicles is telling the story all over again from Samuel and Kings. And so the promise comes. And it says, you see, I will be a father to him, and he shall be a son to me. And all this about wrongdoing and being chastised, skip. Why? Because when this son comes, he will never disappoint his father. You see that prophecy? Very subtle, very rabbinic, but you see it? When this one comes, there's no question of ever punishing him. He will never disappoint his father. And that's Jesus. That's Jesus. So after all the centuries with no king, they have a king. Jesus. Who reigns from the cross and brought the whole world into the privileges of Israel, as we say in the prayer, one of the prayers of the Easter Vigil. The whole world has been brought to inherit the privileges of Israel. Beautiful, isn't it? Because our king is flesh of our flesh and bone of our bone. Right here.